Today I shall speak to you on God's supreme way to evangelize the world. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over this station at this time. Let us pray. Father, we pray now that we'll get a little glimpse of what is in the heart of hearts of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. For in his name and for his glory we pray. Amen. Our text today is from John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer, and I shall read to you verse 11 and 21. These are the words of Jesus to his Father in prayer. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I have been speaking to you on what Jesus prayed for in his high priestly prayer. His first petition was that he would be glorified, that he might glorify his Father. The second petition of our Lord Jesus I mentioned to you from this high priestly prayer was, sanctify them. He prayed for the sanctification of his followers. And the third petition of our Lord, which we want to look at today, is that they may be one. The word one is used 6 times in Jesus' prayer. So it is very important that God's people be one. In fact, I hardly know of anything more important than that God's people be one. Last week I asked you, can a Christian be saved without being sanctified? And our answer was yes. For in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said of his disciples that their names were written in heaven. But here in John 17, he prayed for their sanctification. Yes, you can be saved without being sanctified. But you better be on the way to sanctification when that great trumpet sounds. Now today, let's ask a parallel question. Can Christians be saved and be divided? Let me say that again. Can Christians be saved and be divided amongst one another? And I don't think I have to pull any scripture out to prove to you that Christians can be saved and be divided. The whole history of the church is nothing but a history of division, and division upon division. And you don't have to refer to history. You know that many churches have had church splits in their recent past, or they're currently facing a church split, or there's some kind of division amongst its members. Yet, you don't have to go to church to find a problem of division amongst brethren, amongst the people of God. You can go into many a Christian home. You can go to Christian homes where the husband and wife, both believers in the Lord Jesus, are divided. They are not one in the Lord Jesus. In many cases, there has been a divorce. And many are headed for divorce, or many are living in a divorce-type atmosphere. They don't agree, and there's fussing, and there's arguing in the home. Oh, my friend, how many husbands and wives are one, as a father and a son are one? Isn't this what Jesus prayed for, that they all may be one as we are one? My friend, how one is that? How one is the oneness between Jesus and his Father? The Father and the Son agree in everything. They're together in everything. There's never a quarrel between them. There's never a dispute between them. There's never any sign of disrespect between them. They lift each other. They love each other. If husbands can't be one with their wives, then how do you think the church can come to oneness? If division starts in a home, that division is carried into the church. So the church, most of the church, is made up of Christians, of husbands and wives. Oh, the prayer of Jesus, that they may be one as we are one. So what are some of the things that prevent oneness? I would say there are 3 big ones: stubbornness, selfishness, and pride. I'll put it in one word: an unchristlike spirit, or an unsanctified state of the husband and the wife. If a Christian husband and a Christian wife are not one, it hurts, it grieves the Lord Jesus. If a brother and sister in a Christian home are not one, it grieves the Lord Jesus. If there are two brothers, the one maybe 18, the other 14, if they don't love each other as Jesus loves the Father and the Father loves the Son, then this hurts Jesus. If two sisters in the home, the one maybe 12 and the other maybe 8, don't love each other as the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father, this hurts Jesus. Oh, this prayer of our Lord, that they all may be one as we are one. And verse 21 says that the world may believe. No wonder the world does not believe. With all this division in our churches and in our Christian homes, the world laughs at us. You see, the world is much more one than the church is one. In the United States, there are two major political parties. It's been that way for a long time. It's amazing we don't have hundreds of political parties in our country. But we have hundreds of different denominations, and there's division within each one. The Christians have a harder time coming together to oneness than the unbelievers. The unbelievers have two parties here. The believers have hundreds of parties. This is a disgrace. The prayer of Jesus. Can you hear the prayer of Jesus? That they all may be one, as a Father and a Son are one. You can take 10 new converts that just found Jesus today, one in Africa, one in Europe, a few in the Americas, and some in the islands of the sea, and so forth, and you can take these born-again Christians of today, and they are one. They are born one in Jesus. They are all born of the same Holy Spirit. They are all washed by the same blood of the Lamb, and they are one at the time of their rebirth. But then you have them together a year later, and there's division amongst them. One has become a Baptist, another Lutheran, another Methodist, another Pentecostal. One believes in sprinkling, one in immersion, one in tongues, and the other is against it, and you have division amongst them. Oh, my friend, what are we doing to God's precious lambs? Are we winning them to Jesus or to some denomination or organization? How Jesus is grieved. Can you hear this prayer, this cry, that they all may be one, as the Father and the Son are one, that the world may believe? Then what compounds the tragedy is the Democratic Party in the United States does not have a book telling them, its people, how to be a Democrat. And the Republicans don't have a book, a one book, that tells them how to be Republicans. And yet, my friend, all Christians have the same book. They all have one book that they claim to be their total authority. And yet, they are not one. No wonder that the church has not been able to win the world. She's been at it for 2,000 years and has not really made a dent in it. We still have the major religions of the world holding out, hardly being touched by Christianity. All these old pagan religions, my friend, are just as strong now as they ever were, despite all our efforts at evangelization in all these 2,000 years. I tell you, my friend, the only thing that will bring these people in out of pagan religions, my friend, the only thing that will do it is oneness. Oneness amongst God's people. Let me read this verse to you, verse 21, from the prayer of our Lord. He says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. A divided church cannot convince a world. A house divided against itself cannot stand. As long as husbands and wives in Christian homes are fighting each other and argue one with another, and brothers and sisters in the same homes fight each other, my friend, we're not going to go anywhere. The first step towards oneness now, of course, is sanctification. I spoke to you about that last week. Jesus prayed here for the sanctification of his disciples. And then he also prayed for their oneness, that they would come to oneness. But they would not come to oneness until they would be sanctified. Because, you see, the disciples had quarrels. They disputed amongst one another who would be the greatest. They had jealousies. These disciples of Jesus were headed for divorce. They were headed for divorce, my friend. The only thing that held them together was Jesus. As long as he was there and had these wonderful meetings, they were going to stick together. Like many marriages, the only thing that holds many a marriage together is the children or the church or some business. But when these things are moving away, then there will be a divorce. Couples go to a judge and say, we want a divorce. We don't love each other anymore. We don't have any feeling towards each other anymore. We can't get along anymore. We don't agree anymore. Wouldn't it be good if the judge would say, "Forget it. I will not give you a divorce. You go home and get sanctified. You lock yourself in your house and you pray and you confess and you cry out to God and you read the Word and get yourself straightened out and cleansed and sanctified from this evil, wicked, stubborn, selfish, proud, carnal nature until you come to oneness, and you'll have the most wonderful marriage possible on earth." Wouldn't that be good if all the judges in a nation would refuse to give divorces and say, "You don't need a divorce, you need to be sanctified. That will take care of your problem. Once you get sanctified, you come to oneness, and then the power of the Holy Spirit will fall." The disciples were headed for divorce when Jesus would leave. But Jesus, before he left, said, "I won't let you get a divorce." He said, "I will not let you split up. I want you to go to the upper room and pray and cry out to God and weep before the Lord and confess one to another and get your heart cleansed until you get sanctified and the Holy Spirit will fill your lives." And so, praise God, they prayed. And they prayed in the upper room on their knees, my friend, till they were sore on their knees. Their voices were worn out from crying out to God. And they got sanctified and he got cleansed and the power fell. And they became one. And the world believed. The world began to believe. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands came to get saved without any door-to-door visitation and radio programs and TV programs and methods of evangelism, just because the church had become one. When the church becomes one, the world will believe. Don't tell me this is not possible. Don't tell me what Jesus prayed for is not possible. It was accomplished. It is history. So, my friend, how wonderful. How deep was that oneness, you ask? Listen to Acts chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. It says there, "When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And now listen to this, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul." Is that oneness? It was not just oneness of mind, not only oneness of heart, but it was also oneness of soul. And that is equivalent to the oneness that Jesus has with the Father. Oh, glory to God. And that, my friend, will save the world. That kind of oneness will do it. Well, I looked into one of the commentaries. I seldom use commentaries, but once in a great while I look at a commentary to see if I find a Bible scholar who agrees with me and Jesus, of course. And here I looked into what's called, quote, the one volume New Testament commentary by John Wesley, Adam Clark, Matthew Henry, and others, unquote. And on this verse it says, and I quote, "According to this prayer, the unity of the church means the conversion of the world." Hallelujah. Dear ones, work on this oneness, you husbands and wives, you teenage brothers and sisters and brothers and brothers and sisters and sisters. You work on oneness between each other in the Holy Spirit. And if that oneness, my friend, gets into the homes, then it will be in our churches, in all these millions and millions of people that have been prisoners of religious systems will find the Lord Jesus. Jesus prayed, "I pray that they may be one as the Father and the Son are one, that the world may believe." I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now, until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.